First of all, without Christ, I can do nothing. What does that mean? I mean, some of you can make computer programs that earn a lot of money. Some of you can do physical things and intellectual things, and some of you can play music so well. What does it mean when it says, without Christ, I can do nothing? It means I can do nothing of eternal value. Everything that you can do has got some value on this earth, whether it's in the realm of science or computers or music or anything, but of eternal value. You cannot do anything if Christ does not enable you. So we got to look at all the things we have accomplished without Christ. It gets us a lot of honor on the earth. In fact, a lot of preachers preach sermons without Christ. How do we know? They draw people to themselves. They preach in order to get admiration. They preach in order to be respected, to get a name. And many people who don't have discernment, you see, most believers don't have discernment. My guess is that 75% of believers don't have any discernment. They sit with their mouths open and say, wow, what a man of God. They're going to get a big surprise when Christ comes again and discover that that entire man's ministry was zero. You'll get a surprise. You know, Jesus said that. There are people who are going to stand before him the last day and say, we did miracles in your name. Jesus said, I don't even know you. Get away from me. Get lost. Go to hell. Read that passage sometime, Matthew 7, 22 and 23. It'll really jolt you that people who, you know, so many television evangelists who do what I call magic tricks to fool people, which people, they say it is the same category as the miracles that Jesus did, far from it. But many believers don't have discernment to see through that that man may end up in hell. I'm not saying he will. But if the Lord one day says to him, you did all this, but I don't know you, he'll go to hell. So there are many things that we can glory in. And in the church we teach that we must humble ourselves. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me or without me, you can do zero. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. I didn't believe it in my early Christian life. I thought I could do a lot of things. But the more I have grown close to God, I'm absolutely convinced I can do nothing of eternal value. I can't even preach a sermon if the Holy Spirit does not anoint me and give me words to say, thoughts in my mind before I stand up to speak or while I'm standing up there. Those will be of eternal value. But anything that comes out of self-confidence will accomplish nothing. In the Old Testament, the Lord said, every Israelite must be circumcised. It's a cutting off of the flesh. Otherwise, he's cut off from the people of God. And Philippians 3:3 says, circumcision means no confidence in the flesh, cutting off confidence in the flesh. And that is the mark of those who have entered the covenant. Circumcision of the heart, no confidence in oneself. No boasting in oneself. Without Christ, I can do nothing. And the example Jesus uses is so great, clear, a branch in a tree. Even if it's brought fruit for 50 years, it has to say, if I'm cut off from the tree today after 50 years of experience of bearing fruit, tomorrow I'll bear zero fruit. That is humility. I don't know whether you have that type of humility that recognizes that anything of eternal value that came out of your life came only from Christ pouring out His Spirit through you. All the rest that you accomplished in your life is wood, hay, and straw, which will be burnt up. So let me encourage you to learn this lesson deeply. Without Christ, I will never, never do anything of eternal value. And that is why we need to pray. See, people who are smart and clever and capable, they don't pray. Why do they need to pray? They can do a lot of things without prayer. Prayer is an expression. Let me define prayer. Prayer is an expression of my helplessness to God. As long as the doctors say, I can fix this child of yours, just leave him to me, you don't pray. But when the doctor says, I've given up all hope, no hope for your child, then we pray. See, prayer is when we have come to the end of human ability and strength and capability. You'll see that in your life, that you pray only when all other possibility of solving the problem is gone. But it's a wonderful thing if we can learn right that you don't have to wait till you come to that desperate point all the time. Just pray without ceasing. That means live a life of continual dependence upon God. To me, prayer without ceasing is like the branch remaining in the tree all the time. That's all. Abide in me and let me abide in you. That's prayer without ceasing. It means constant dependence upon God inwardly, even if we don't say it with our lips. Lord, I know one thing. I can do nothing without you. That will last. And I want to spend my life doing what will last. There's a very popular expression that's known throughout the Christian world called, only one life, it'll soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. But I've discovered through the years, that many people do many things for Christ which will not last. So I've changed it slightly. Only one life, it'll soon be past. Only what Christ does through me will last. Not what I do for Christ. It's not only one life, it'll soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what Christ does through me. What I do for Christ may not last. A lot of things going on today in the name of Christ, I'll tell you, it's not going to last. Think of the final day. Think of the day when we stand before the Lord. I think of it frequently. Lord, what's going to matter in that day? Like children, you know, the final examination, what's going to be the result there? It doesn't matter if all the students thought you were very clever and the teacher thought you were clever. If you fail in the final examination, what's the use? The final exam, that's the thing that matters. So I need to recognize on this earth, without Christ, I can do nothing. Nothing means absolutely nothing. That is the mark of a humble man. That is how Jesus lived on earth. Humility is not to say, oh, I've committed so many sins in my life, I'm a rotten sinner. If that is the mark of humility, Jesus was not humble. Because Jesus never said, I'm a rotten sinner. And yet some people think, the mark of humility is to say, I'm such a wretch, I'm a rotten sinner. Think of that. The humblest man who walked on the earth never said that. Humility is not saying, I'm a rotten sinner. Humility is saying, I can do nothing without God. It will last forever. Jesus lived like that. Do you know that Jesus said in John chapter 5, let me read it to you. Verse 19, truly, truly I say to you, the Son, that's Himself, can do nothing out from Himself unless it is something He sees the Father do. And He says in verse 30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. Why do we say Jesus is our example? Because He also could do nothing without dependence on the Father. He said, as I abide in my Father, you abide in me. In other words, He's telling us, I am like a branch dependent on my Father. I mean, not always. In eternity, He was the Son of God. He was completely self-sufficient. But when He came to earth as a man, He had to be an example for us. In order to be an example for us, He lived like the same helpless way that we are. Christ came in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, the church is the pillar and support of this truth, that Christ came in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. See, these pillars are supposed to support something. And the true church is supposed to support one truth. Christ came in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. And you look around the world and see how many churches are supporting that truth. They're not. They're supporting some other truth. So how you can become rich and how you can make a lot of money and all types of worldly things which everybody in the world pursues after. So that's the first truth we emphasize.